This morning. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord? Haven't you enjoyed service here last night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord we heard here last night? Amen, Brother David. Just absolutely blessed our heart. To me, that was a very challenging message. Because I know this, if we ever lose our praise, we're done. If we ever lose our praise here at Happy Valley, we're done. God has called us to worship. He's called us to respond to the Word. He has called us to put forth the best effort that we possibly can in each and every service. Do you believe that? I was just thinking on the way to church and before I left home, what if our Lord, when it come time for Him to go to Calvary, would have took my attitude sometimes and your attitude sometimes? I just don't believe I'll go today. I just don't believe church will be worth going today. And if I get there, I don't believe I'll put much effort forth because I just don't feel good. And I'm just going to go and let somebody else carry my part of the weight. I'll just sit there and enjoy the service. Now, what if he had took that attitude when it came time to go to Calvary? I just don't feel like going up there and dying. I just don't feel like being beat half to death. But I'm glad for one thing. He gave it all. He gave his best. For sins that wasn't his, they were yours and they were mine. Do you love him with all your heart this morning? Give him a big hand clap of praise. Amen. He's worthy of it. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Sing a little bit more of that for me.
Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Fussing at you at all, but I tell you this, you're one of the best groups of people to worship that I've ever been around in my life. And I want to encourage you, don't lose that. Keep it going. Keep it going. We've got to create the right kind of atmosphere. Who's going to do it if we don't? Who's going to create it? Ain't nobody going to create it if we don't. So while you that are here this morning, we're going to create a real good atmosphere. We're going to make it pleasing to our Lord. Didn't come to see you and you didn't come to see me, but we come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We're going to look at our prayer request. Brother Daniel, if you'll get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord in prayer. I want to pray for Sister Linda Babb. She is fevered and chilling this morning. So let's remember her as we pray. Also our pastor, I want to remember Brother Donnie in prayer. He's also suffering from fevers, coughing, and chilling. So let's pray for our pastor this morning that the Lord would be mindful of him. Sister Martha Sacker says that my sister Judy called and asked that we would pray for her and her husband. They are both sick, need a touch from the Lord today. Sister Lisa Vaughn says, please pray for Brother Tom Horniak. He is homesick with a fever and able to be in the service today. So we want to remember him in prayer. I want to pray for Sister Wilma Benton. They're taking her to urgent care. She is in a lot of pain with swollen feet and legs. So let's pray for Sister Wilma this morning that the Lord will be mindful. Sister Carrie Arrowood, sister, please pray for a work friend at work. They're asking that we would remember them in prayer. So let's pray for that need today. Sister Janet Payne, sister, please pray for my hometown, Hughes Creek, West Virginia. They're being evacuated because of the flooding. The water is even getting into the coal mines and destroying some of the things in that area. So let's pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. Aren't we glad to see the sunshine this morning? Praise the Lord. Sister Ruth Priest says to please pray for Sister Laura Krause. She had to go to the ER this morning. The doctors think that her pancreas is her problem. So let's pray for that need. Sister Linda Jablonski says, my mother had to travel to West Virginia for a funeral. I ask for traveling mercy, peace and comfort for the family and friends, and salvation for those in need. So let's remember that need today. I want to pray for Brother Gary's and Sister Lona's little granddaughter, Keziah, still sick, needs a touch from the Lord. Also, Sister Lona needs a touch from the Lord this morning. Let's pray for her. I want to pray for Brother Abe Dykes and his wife. Both have been sick. They're asking that we would remember them in prayer. Please pray for Sister Sherry Wiggins. She's been having trouble recovering her strength and not feeling well this morning. So we want to remember her in prayer as we pray. And I got a message from Brother Terry Tidwell. We requested prayer here to church maybe last weekend and maybe Wednesday night or a couple of three services ago. Sister Vicky, the doctors had told her 3 weeks ago that 93% of all of her white blood cells was cancerous. And they were just very, very concerned. She started chemotherapy, and they had to, her first session, they had to stop it because of her blood pressure, heart rate dropped, and they had to stop that. So I think maybe she went back for one or two treatments. So she goes back to the doctor, and the doctor told her this, and praise the Lord. He told her that her cancer was dead. Her cancer had died. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that's our Lord. That's just our Lord in 2015. He's still real. He still heals. Are you glad you're serving Him this morning? You have an unspoken prayer request, let's stand. Raise your hand if you have something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Terry, in his message to me, he said, I've not started preaching, but I'm feeling more like it every day. Thanking God for what He's done for Sister Vicky Tidwell. The Lord is just so mindful. He loves us. Aren't you glad He loves us? Where would you be without His love? Where would you be without His mercy? Somebody say, I thank You, Jesus. Amen. Brother Daniel, come this morning. We appreciate Brother Daniel, don't we? Amen.
Amen. Brother David was preaching about Samson's revival last night. And I was telling Brother Lee at the church about the would Samson pick up the jawbone of an ass, and he said, with the jawbone, I have slew 1,000 men. You know, he came giving himself praise and glory there. Then God caused a great thirst to come upon him. And he said, will you give me this great victory? Now, are you going to let me die on account of thirst? He began to give God the praise. Right. Then God caused water to come forth out of the jawbone. Amen. And you know, him being real thirsty, I wouldn't think that that was just a little sup of water. It was enough to supply him, to revive him. And that's the way with our God. Amen. He gives us enough to revive us. Amen. Let's pray for these requests this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful to be in this service today. Thank You for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, because you're just as real now as you ever been. God, you said whatever we ask in faith, believing that you'll do it. Heavenly Father, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. God, we pray for our pastor, Brother Dine. God, that you'll just touch that body. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll cause that sickness to leave, the fever to go away. Heavenly Father, we pray for every one of these needs, every request. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that your hand will go forth to heal, to deliver. Heavenly Father, for those on the highways, we pray that you give them travel mercies. God, we pray now that you'll take this service today. God, that you bless the speaker. Let your Holy Ghost take complete charge. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we want to receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in this service today, we want to welcome you to the service. All those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. We've got a code of the way we operate around here. All of our birthdays, anniversaries, announcements, as usually is put on the screen. We've got a situation this morning that I'm going to break our code just a little bit. And if anybody gets mad, it's every bit my fault. Nobody had anything to do with this but me. But we've got a couple of people this morning that celebrated birthdays this week. In order to get into this elite club, you have to be between 85 and 90. And we have two people that have reached that milestone today. And if I could just say this, I saw Sister Ruth Whitson yesterday. And my mind, for whatever reason, just went back to Brother Bill Whitson. What a pillar he was here in our church. I see Sister Louise McKinney. I thank you, Brother Allen. What a pillar he was here in our church. Just great men. I thank you, Brother Cecil Babb. What a tremendous pillar he was here in our church. And we've got two people here today that are still with us, and I thank the Lord for it. Brother Calvin Ward celebrated his 88th birthday this past week. And I want to say, Brother Calvin, you are a pillar in our assembly this morning, and we love you with all of our heart. Praise the Lord. And there's another person here this morning that has always been a tremendous influence in my life, and one that I'll always look to and appreciate with all of my heart. Her and her family, what a blessing they've been to this assembly. They come in, they leave, you never know they're here. But Sister Merle Boone celebrated her 90th birthday this week. Give her a hand, if you would, this morning. Praise the Lord. Sister Boone offers this thank you for all your kindness. I want to thank you for my wonderful church family for all the cards and gifts. I appreciate all your love, Sister Boone. Brother Calvin, Sister Boone, and all you other old folks, we love you too. God bless every one of you. Praise the Lord. We appreciate them with all of our heart, don't we? We have an aging church where a lot of us are getting on up in years. But I look at some of you, I'm a young man compared to some of you, and I'm older than dirt just about. But anyway, we're glad for what God is. He's put us together for a purpose, and let's serve that purpose well. Let's love one another with everything we got. Say a kind word to somebody before you leave here today. You never know if that's going to be the last time you'll ever see him or not. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Are you glad to be Happy Valley people this morning? Are you glad for what God's done for you? Give me one more hand clap of praise this morning. Let's sing this song this morning. I bless your name. I can't think of another name that's worth blessing other than His. Somebody say praise the Lord. Sing it with everything you got, church.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, all in silence pray. that night, and in the rain began to sing. The chains were loose and they were free.
I want you to sing about it now. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise.
You are alive. The truth, the if you should find your inner prison in your mind, reach out and praise, defy those chains. Bless your name.
Watch them fall. You can watch.
give him a big hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. When you're in your quiet time praying, will you pray for my voice? I just can't seem to get better, but the Lord's going to help me. I do know that, because I know where I'm supposed to be. I got confidence in that. I know where I'm supposed to be. And by God's grace, I want to do it 100%. Pray for me if you would. Brother Mike Johnson, where's he at? Come on, buddy. Give us a song. Brother Brandon Green, if you'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to give us a song after Brother Mike sings. Let's give our singers a nice hand this morning as they come to sing for you.
Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. And when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. With your final heartbeat, just kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Oh, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live.
Like to try a little song here that after Brother Donnie preached a message about the word being quickened to us, just a little simple melody and some words came to me. And y'all just worship with me. You can learn it. Probably one chorus, y'all will learn it. Start the day and open up your pages, thirsting for your truth. In anticipation, I await revelation of who I am in you. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. At the end of the day, when all is tucked away, then your spirit often speaks, bringing to light from my heart to my mind the word inside of me. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Yes, quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. End of the day, when all is tucked away, then your spirit often speaks, bringing to light from my heart to my mind the word inside of me. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Yes, Yes, quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O
certainly say that's the call of the hours. Ask God to quicken His Word to us. Certainly that's, thank you for that inspiration that the Lord gave to you. And we certainly want to say we appreciate the opportunity to be back in the house of the Lord. Yeah, you know, I just love to come to church. I know that's not new, you know, but that's just part of my life. We certainly miss our pastor, and I know that, you know, sickness is going around. Sister Linda, different ones. My wife's not feeling well this morning. And so, but God is still a healer. Amen. Now, I was in revival. We had revival last night. And revival is stirring up. That's what you already is in you, what you already have. It's, as he read the quote, not necessarily, you know, new converts, but it's stirring up what you already have. And when you get stirred up, a lot of times you get cut up. You know, when you go to church, you get cut up and sliced and hacked, and so, because it's a self-evaluation. And so, since we had revival last night, got cut up last night, I'm gonna kind of liken that to, you know, when you go to the hospital and you have surgery, and you get cut up, then after your surgery, then you have a recovery time, then after your recovery time, you're sent home from the hospital. And then when you sit home from the hospital, you actually get what they call a post-surgery instructions. Okay? So that's what I'm going to give you today is some post-surgery instructions. And when you go home after your surgery, you have special instructions how to live, you know, what you can eat, what medications, you know, what you can do, what you can't do, all these kinds of things. So I'm going to give you some post-surgery instructions. That'll be okay? All right, we're going to turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis, and this is going to be real simple. Just be simple. And Albert Einstein said one time, he said, if you can't say it simple, then you just don't understand it well enough yet. I think that's pretty good, you know, for a mastermind. If you can't say it simple, then you just don't understand it well enough yet. So I'm just going to be real simple, okay? In the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 21, we'll read that and then we'll announce what we're going to speak on. Genesis 5:21, and then 6, and then 2 Corinthians 6:16. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In Genesis 5:32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. There's your three witnesses. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, to be back in the house of God. Lord, it's fell my lot to bring the word of the Lord to the people. But Lord, it's not my lot to bring it. Lord, I'm depending on you. I've got some notes. I prayed. I've studied. But I pray that you'll bring the inspiration. You'll bring the understanding. You'll bring the meaning. You'll bring the fluency, the flowing, Lord, the interpretation. Lord, it all comes from you, and we're depending on you. Truly, Lord, I'm depending on you. Without you, it would be of no avail. Nothing good could be accomplished without your presence and your anointing. So we ask that you would help. Bless Brother Donnie. Heal his body. The others that were sick, heal their bodies. Deliver them from these things. And Lord, bring them back to their post of duty, Lord. And I pray that you'll give us grace this morning. We just count it an honor to be in your presence. Help us, Lord, this morning. May the people say when they leave the building, it's been good to be in the house of God. And it'll be because of you, in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated in the name of the Lord. We want to talk a little bit about, it's a real simple little title. Nothing really fancy about the title. Walking with God. Walking with God. Now, you know, Enoch is, of course, our type. And the Bible says Enoch walked with God. So if Enoch is being our type and he walked with God, then we want to find out a little bit about Enoch. And there's not a lot said about Enoch. You know, he's in, as far as being in the scripture. But you know, very few people, I mean, most of us know the scripture, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him and so forth. But very few people really don't realize that there was only one other man in the Bible that actually was declared that he walked with God, and we read it, and it was Noah. Now, there's many people that walk with God in the Bible, but it just not was declared or stated, and they walk with God. So there must have been, to me, something a little special about them, why, and the generation that they lived, that it could be declared, you know, Moses being the writer of Genesis, and, you know, Moses said that Enoch walked with God, and Noah walked with God, and he just, there's some reason that he said that. And so we want to try to look into it a little bit. I think there's something kind of special about these two men, or maybe the age that they lived in was something kind of special. And in fact, we know that the age right before the antediluvian destruction, the sin was great and heaped up upon the earth. So it's very much like today. I know Brother Them says in godless evil age and place, he said, you know, this is the worst age and more sin because we got more people and so forth. But you know, it was so bad. It was so bad then. It's, God said, it just repented me. It just grieved me that I've even made man. I'll just destroy them all.
Right. Amen.
Now, Noah's father was Lamech, and Lamech's father was Methuselah, and Methuselah's father was Enoch. So we have a time span of about four generations, which 120 years back then, generations, so we're talking about between four and 500 years. So we must have a little understanding of the wickedness upon the earth during that time right before the flood. We find in Genesis 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When you think about the chaos and the sin and the degradation and the getting away from God and all the evil that was upon the face of the earth, if it was so bad that God said, it just repented me that I've made man, and I'm just going to destroy all of them, it had to be terrible, awful. They built the pyramids and the Sphinx, and Brother Man said they probably had atomic power, but to be able to build those, and he said that probably it was the atomic power that they had that rocked the earth and set it off 22.5 degrees, whatever, you know, it is, and they'll do the same thing, set off enough nuclear explosion to set it back up earth, you know, for the millennium, and so it was a time of scientific achievement, it was a time of sin. Just debauchery and all kinds of evil things, and it said man's thoughts of their hearts was evil continually. What a chaos it must have been during that time.
Amen.
The evil heart of man grieved the righteous heart of Almighty God. And you know, the Bible, of course, kind of condenses the explanations, and we don't get the full magnitude when we read it. But I did a little research here, and I found in history kind of one writer's description of how evil the day was. I don't have it on the board, but I'm going to read this kind of quickly. So just listen as I read this, his thoughts of how evil it was just before the flood. Said their hearts was naught. They were deceitful and desperately wicked. Their principles were corrupt. Their habits and dispositions evil. The thoughts of the heart were also the same. The imagination of the thoughts of the heart were so that their designs and devices were wicked. They did not do evil through mere carelessness, as those who walk at all adventures, not heeding what they do, but they did evil deliberately and designingly, contriving how to do such mischief. It was bad indeed, for it was only evil, continually evil. And every imagination was so. There was no good to be found among them. No, not at any time. The stream of sin was full, strong, and constant, and God saw it. He also says the universal prevalence of lust and violence encouraged by longevity. You know, they live 700, 800, 900 years back then, which put the thought of death far away from the antediluvians, which was the proximate cause of the destruction of the ungodly world. A confluence of various streams of evil swelled into an overflowing torrent of corruption. The idolatrous and they were atheists, race of Cain, the religious decline of final apostasy of the Sethites, who, disappointed in their hope of the promised deliverer, abandoned their faith or, attracted by the worldly prosperity and gay lives of the Canaanites, gradually cultivated their society and forming matrimonial alliances with them, merged into full conformity with the world. The forms of worship being abandoned and all sense of true germinal religion extinguished. Wickedness increased with fearful rapidity until in the 10th generation, the iniquity of the old world came to the full. The kingdom of God was overthrown. Satan reigned supreme in the world and converted this earth into a province of hell. That's what it was before the antediluvian destruction. Sin, debauchery, wickedness, evil. Every imagination of people's hearts was continually wicked. Aren't we living in about the same day, about the same condition, about the same atmosphere, about the same proximity, you would say? Even David wrote about it in Psalms 14. He mentioned about before the flood, referring back to before the flood, Psalm 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. To the chief musician, a Psalm of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Think about it. This was the condition of the earth in the days of Enoch, in the days of Noah. Every sin and every evil thought and every kind of corruption and every kind of violence. And how the atheism race of Cain degenerating and mixed marriages and conforming to the world, their hearts were evil, their minds were evil, their desires were evil, their dispositions were evil, their designs were evil, their walk was wicked, everything was debauchery. And yet in that time, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. The Bible says also Noah walked with God. And that's without the Holy Ghost. Think about it. Notice a couple of things about Enoch as we go on. Genesis 5:21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now Enoch was 65 years old when his wife gave birth to Methuselah. And verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Notice the wording after. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Don't miss that. You see, it's kind of like there was a time that, see now what we're saying here, there's a time that Enoch did not walk with God because Enoch was 365 years old when God translated him. And he said he was 300 years old when he walked with God. So he was 365, so it was 65 years he didn't walk with God. I mean, you know, that's 1 + 1 = 2. It's kind of like Moses. Moses was about 120 years old. Let's take the 120 years of his life. The first 40 years, he walked with Pharaoh. The second 40 years, he walked with Zipporah. The third 40 years, he walked with God. I thought it was just tremendous how Brother Donnie brought, you know, Wednesday night about his situation with Zipporah. why God had him to marry Zipporah. Apparently, God seen he needed Zipporah. It's good training. Glory. So there was a time, Genesis 5:23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Remember now, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So remember Enoch being our type. Remember also there was a space of time that you never walked with God. Think about it. If we didn't have a nature change, where would we be today? It's because we had a change of desires, a change of nature, a change of focus, a change of heart. All that. Where would we be today if we didn't have a nature change? We didn't walk with God. Brother, there was a time when I was in sin and during my teenage years, going to church was a farther thing from my desire. Part of that time I was in the military, I was out in Albuquerque, and my great love in life was snow skiing. I skied at Santa Fe and Sandia Peak and Vail and Colorado and Loveland Basin, you name it. Everywhere I went skiing every weekend. But guess what? I got saved, quit skiing. Well, it's okay to ski, but I don't ski on Sunday. I don't ski anymore at all. You know, I mean, you get as old as I am, you break your leg, you break your neck, you break your back. You're just not safe, you know. But back then, that was my desire. But you see, I got a nature change. I got a new desire now. I got a new focus. I got a new man on the throne. The control tower has been changed. So we find out this is true. And so there's probably some of you that's not walking with God yet. In a building this size, there's probably some that's not walking with God yet. As little time as we have left, it'd be a good idea you listen real close this morning. Remember what Brother David said last night? Remember? Think about that real close. Now, when Enoch's son Methuselah was born, that's when Enoch began to walk with God. Now I can't say whether it was the responsibility of raising a son in a godless age that he realized he needed God's help that he started walking with God, or whether or not God revealed to him Methuselah's name when Methuselah was born that made him to walk with God, because the word Methuselah means after I am gone the deluge will come. Deluge means the flood. Methuselah means after I'm gone, the flood will come. So perhaps God gave Enoch some understanding that, hey, you know, after your son dies, the flood's going to come. You better start walking with me. So I don't know which it was, but after his son Methuselah was born, he started walking with God. Now remember, Enoch is our type of the perfect, perfected bride that comes to maturity. In this age, the bride, she never dies, she's translated. Paul also gives us a little sight into Enoch in Hebrews 11:5. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. And that's not all. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. You say, well, brother, that's simple. Well, how simple is it? First of all, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So first of all, we know you've got to have faith. I mean real faith. Genuine faith. I'm not talking about hope so. I'm talking about substance faith. Enoch was a man, he had faith. He believed in God. He walked with God. He obeyed God. He raised his family to have faith. Remember, if you have faith, you'll raise your family to have faith too. If you have faith, you'll instruct your family in the ways of God. If you love God and are born again and birthed into the kingdom of God, you'll teach your children the right way. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart. You say, well, how do you know that Enoch had faith? Well, and how do you know that he properly instructed his children? Well, he properly instructed Methuselah, which is his son. And Methuselah, I'm sure, properly instructed Lamech, which is his son. And Lamech properly instructed Noah, which was his son, because Noah walked with God. So I'm sure there was some instruction that was passed down from one generation to the other. Amen. Now, and he walked with God. Amen. So, you know, can you imagine how difficult it was to live in that generation? You see, when you instruct your children to walk with God, it's not like this generation today when the parents just give their kids a cell phone and car keys. Enoch didn't give his Methuselah a cell phone and car keys. He instructed him about Jehovah God. Amen. It was difficult to walk in that time. Amen. Back in that age, you know, that age right before the flood, with all the vices and violence and the sin was prevalent everywhere. And again in Genesis 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination, it's hard to even imagine what he's saying, every imagination. Not even just the things that they can concoct up, you know, with what they see out there, but they think up evil things to do. Just imagine evil things to do. Every evil imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. God, I wouldn't want to live back in that day. But we're living in Satan's Eden. It's got to be the same today. It's got to be as bad or even worse. Their heart was continually evil. But Enoch was a real man of God. He was a real soldier. He was a real overcomer. Let me say this. Enoch had a wife and he had children, and that did not hinder his walk with God. Enoch, listen, some of you husbands out there, you say, well, you know, I can't do this because of my wife, and I can't go to church, you know, I've got this, and you know, and henpeck. Enoch had a wife and he had children. He walked with God. He's our type. He lived in the most wicked of all the ages up until that time, and he walked with God. Amen. We need men that'll take their children to church and train them upright and teach them the gospel and pray with them, and read with them, have devotion with them, love them and take care of them and train them about God. Do things. Be a good example to them. They enforced holiness back then. We ought to do the same thing today. Just put them out on the street, let them do anything. Well, you know, no wonder you can see why Brother Man said a kid's got a 95% chance of a better chance of becoming a Christian if he's trained up in the house of God. You know, it's very simple to see that. If you take a person and he's raised, and you take a child and he's born and he's raised in Russia, guess what language he's going to learn? Russian. That's because that's all he knows. So you train up a child in church, that's all he knows is church. What do you think is going to happen to him? He's going to learn about God. That's why the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. You got to train him right. People say, well, I'll just let them decide when they get old. No, you're not even giving them 50% of chance, because the devil's already got them. The first nature of the devil's already on them. You're not giving them a chance to have the other nature. Glory. We need a lot of Mrs. Enochs around the world today. A lot of Mrs. Enochs around the message today to take an interest in their children and stop giving them, you know, sending so many texts. They ought to help them to read some text. All they want to do is, you know, I believe, honestly, if you were to take the cell phones away from children today, young people, they'd die. They'd literally die. They'd have a cardiac arrest. What am I gonna do? I mean, you know, they go to a nervous. You know, you go out to a restaurant, everybody's texting, everybody's doing it on their cell phone. You can't even have a conversation anymore. They gotta stay on their phone. Where's the family time anymore? All they want is electronic gadget. Where is it? Brother, I don't see it. You know, don't let me get on that. Oh, me, you know, some of you sisters, quit living your lives for your children. You know, be like Mrs. Enoch. Train them up in the way that they should go. Train them what's right. Tell them what's right. Teach them what's right. Show them what's right. Live what's right. Be an example to them. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to show you what the Bible talks about training up a child. And while I'm on this subject, let's look in Deuteronomy 6:5. This is what we should do. You talk about affirmations and quotes on the refrigerator. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and shall be as frontlets between their eyes. You talk about affirmations and as, like I said, you know, quotes on the refrigerator. They had them everywhere. Everywhere they went, they talked about God. They read about God. They discussed about God. They taught them about God. When they come in, when they go out, everywhere they went, it's all about God. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. That's why you gotta train up a child properly. For him to know about God. We're talking about bride material now, brothers, sisters. We're talking about walking with God. We're talking about why Enoch pleased God. Something else about Enoch. Enoch took the way of a true prophet. He wasn't silent. He was kind of like Brother Donnie. He was sent to torment hell.
Yes, sir.
He rebuked that generation and he prophesied of the coming judgment. The Bible says so. Let's read it in Jude chapter 1. You're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and fornication and filthy flesh and filthy dreamers. And Jude talks about the brute beasts and corrupt themselves and raging waves and wandering stars. Verse 14, and Enoch, listen to what it says. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. He preached to them, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh when 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to forget to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. Enoch prophesied about it. He preached about it. He boldly announced that God would come and bring judgment. And we know during Enoch's day that God brought the flood, but we know that Enoch actually was prophesying of what was to take place, in Revelation 19:11, when Jesus returns with his saints and the white horse, on white horses and judge and make war. We know that. But Enoch was a man like a real prophet of God. He really blasted them. Amen. Ungodly living and ungodly ways and so forth and so on.
Amen.
Listen, Enoch's life is and his witness on is an example, of an overcomer in a wicked and a perverse generation. It's possible. It is possible to be faithful to God. It is possible to be led by God. It is possible to walk with God. It is possible to have communion with God. Because you become part of God. You're the Word made flesh. Because you have part of God in you. It's the Word being made flesh in you. That's why we're Messiahs. Oh, mercy. Listen. Here's Brother Branham's summary of Enoch. In God's provided place of worship, he says, let's take a man here that kept all the word of God. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Enoch's our type. Let's take a man here that kept all the word of God back in the Old Testament by the name of Enoch. He was so quickened. What did we hear last night? Wednesday night. And also, he was so quickened. Brother Donnie talking about that quickening. That was so wonderful. He was so quickened by the word of God that he had a testimony that he pleased God.
Amen.
There wasn't one thing that God commanded Enoch to do but what he did. How in the world are we going to be accomplished that? The word made flesh. How many Enochs we got in the building this morning? About 55%. How many Enochs we got in the building this morning? Glory! That's our type. Enoch was translated. He had this testimony before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I want that testimony. Amen. Now, we all claim to be raptured material. Enoch's in our type. So you say, well, God commanded me to do something and I failed. Well, get up and do it again. So I did this and I failed. Well, don't get down. Don't get depressed. Don't get despondent. Just get up and do it again. We get discouraged. Don't stay down. Get up and do it again. Listen, we all get discouraged once in a while, but don't get in depression. If you get in depression, it's your own fault. With all we've been given and all that we have in front of us and all the tools we have, the ministry we have, the promise that we have, there's no reason for anybody to get in depression. Oh, brother, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. How are we going to please God? How? Tell me, how are we going to please God? I'll tell you how. By faith, Enoch was translated. Brother Bram says this, and faith is the substance. He says, paragraph 61, faith. We've got to get in such a place till we'll be translated like Enoch was. That's right. Faith. Testimony. That it pleased God. Did not need it. Our following scripture said that Enoch had a testimony by faith that he pleased God. Is that right? And the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. So you've got to have the same kind of faith that you believe and know. You've got to have the same kind of faith. The same kind of faith. Enoch believed God. Amen. You got to have that same kind of faith too. Yeah. You believe it? Yeah. Amen. Now listen, I heard a preacher say one time, I just want to bring this in. I heard a preacher say one time, Brother Louie, you mentioned this some time back. You know, he got into a time that he was a little despondent and he almost, was getting into depression and he was kind of delirious and he just got to pray it and the Lord spoke to him and these seven words, I believe I'll just go on anyway. So he got to quoting those words and it came to him what the Lord said, in spite of my troubles, in spite of my tears, in spite of my threats, I believe I'll just go on anyway. In spite of my troubles of flesh, troubles of family, troubles of finances, troubles of fears, troubles of failures, I believe I'll just go on anyway. In spite of my tears of persecution, tears of pardon, tears of poverty, tears of pain, and tears of problems, I believe I'll just go on anyway. Oh, brother, I just love that. In spite of threats of sickness and threats of Satan, threats of separation, threats of society, and threats of shame, I believe I'll just go on anyway. I don't care what the devil said, I believe I'll just go on anyway. When you get down, I'm going on anyway. When I get sick, I'm going on anyway. When it snows outside, I'm going on anyway. When things get bad, I'm going on anyway. I don't care what comes, we're going to go on anyway. Somebody's going to make a rapture. Somebody's going to be translated. Somebody's going to be an overcomer. Can you imagine somebody in a car race or a marathon or whatever, and they're on the very last lap of the race and being a winner and seeing the ribbon just a few hundred yards down the road and turn off their engine? I just believe I'll quit. Insanity. Or a 440 marathon runner, he's got the baton, he's on the last lap and they're winning the race there. He just said, I believe I'll just quit and just stop, sit down. It's insanity. I mean, we are that close to breaking the ribbon. Why do you want to quit? Why do you want to stop? Go forward. I don't care what comes your way, just say, I believe I'll just go on anyway. I believe I'll just go on anyway. Don't forget that. Just say them seven words. I believe I'll just go on anyway. Glory. But the devil don't like that. But I tell you what, it'll give you victory. It'll give you faith. It'll help you. Let's look at Noah for just a minute. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 5:32. Noah was 500 when his children was born. Now, nothing said about Noah walking with God yet. Genesis 6:7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have even made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, a man that was perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Was Noah flawless? No, he wasn't flawless, but he was perfect. He was mature. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, I can't prove exactly when Noah started walking with God, but I know that he did that after his children were born. So if you ain't got no children, you better get some. Well, Enoch, after Methuselah was born, he walked with God. It don't say that Noah walked with God before his children born, but after his children born, it's declared he walked with God. But when you have children, you better walk with God. Amen. Here's a few things about Noah. Noah was a righteous man. You know, when we think about Noah, we think about, you know, after the flood and he got drunk and all these things. But in God's eyes, Noah was a righteous man. That means right standing for God. For I have seen him righteous before me. And Noah was a blameless man. He was just and perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God like his great-grandfather who walked with God, Enoch. Noah was obedient to God. And all that God commanded him to do, that's what he did.
Amen.
Noah was a great man.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah. By faith, again, by faith. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. They walked with God, being warned of God of things not yet as seen, not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and there and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. Enoch had faith.
Amen.
Noah had faith. And this bride's going to have faith.
Amen.
Amen. Noah made his mistakes. Amen. But he was a real man of God. In fact, Noah was not a minor character. When you talk about redemption, Noah's name is mentioned 50 times in 9 different books of the Bible. Noah walked with God. And remember, Noah had a family, and that did not hinder his walk with God.
Amen.
So keep that in mind. We think about Enoch. Oh, he was a great man. He didn't have any hindrances. Yes, he did. He lived in the time right before the flood. Wicked age. He had all kinds of hindrances. But the Bible said he walked with God. Now, until closing here, I looked up everything that I could find what Brother Bam said about walking with God. Now, you know, usually when we think about, you know, walking with God, we go to the Colorado storm and Brother Bam, you know, rebuked the storm. He said, why don't you walk with me? That's another message. We're not going to get into that. But I looked up everything he said and just so happened, you know, he talks about many times we come to church, you know, get a closer walk with God, a closer walk with God. But he did say some specific things about characteristics about walking with God. So I looked up all those, so I'm going to give you, and I found 10. So I'm going to give you the 10 commandments of walking with God, okay? Okay? So we're going to go through these quick. We could preach on all of them, so I'm just going to go through these, read these quick, and then, in fact, if you want to jot them down, I'm going to just list them 1 through 10, if you want to jot them down. First thing, and there's not necessarily any order, but first thing, you must be called out. He says in Revelation 18:4 and 2 Corinthians 6:17, you must be called out. 5, identification of the church. He says, and now the church of God today is the same thing. Called out of everything of the world. Called out of every religious cult. Called out of every religious denomination. Called out of every organization to walk with God.
Amen.
Not being governed by a bishop, but being governed by Christ. In this messianic kingdom that we live in, Christ the King, Christ is the one.
Amen.
You got to be called out.
Amen.
And not only do you got to be called out, you got to stay called out.
Amen.
You can't just be called out. Listen, there's many people that are going back. They was called out originally, but they're going back. Don't go back.
Amen.
Stay out. You know what? You know, when I think about the children of Israel, and I don't want to get on that, but I think about it. When they got to Kadesh Barnea, about 2 years into the journey, they sent the 12 spies over there, which it was their desire to send the spies over. We preached on that before. They send the 12 spies over. 10 come back with evil report. 10 come back with the gripes. 2 come back with the grapes. They got discouraged. They lamented all night long. They got up the next morning, complaining to Moses, and they said, we will appoint a captain to take us back to Egypt. Go read it. It's in the Bible. It said, we will appoint a captain to take us back to Egypt. Back to the bondage, back to making bricks, and back to all that cruelty of Pharaoh, back to Egypt. 2 years on the journey, and they're ready to go back to Egypt. They didn't go back, but they said, we're going to make a captain. They actually appointed a captain to take it back. Never did go back, but they wanted to. That's why God was displeased with those people in that generation, because they grumbled and complained, and they did not have faith. No wonder the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you got to be called out, and you got to stay out. Stay out of those religious bondage. Don't go back to denomination. Don't go back to anything. Stay with the truth.
Amen.
Number 2. We could preach on these for time. Number 2. You must act like Jesus. Oh, well, sure. That's no problem. Yeah. That was easy. Brother Bram said, you must act like Jesus. Write it down. Images of Christ. You can't explain and say the people that cry and turn the other cheek are just old-fashioned. But that's the man that's reflecting Christ in his life. A man who is humble. A man who will walk with God will act like Jesus. I didn't write it. I'm just bringing it to you. This is post-surgery instructions. Okay? This is how we're going to walk. He's our type. We want to walk with God. We want to be pleasing to God. So, no problem. Well, how are we going to act like Jesus? Well, the Bible says, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. Listen, I told somebody the other day, we've got to start thinking like God thinks. You say, how do we do that? Let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renewing means renovation. You got to renovate your mind. What do you do when you renovate a house? You tear out all the old stuff and you put new stuff in it. When you renovate your mind, you tear out all the garbage, you put new stuff in it. So be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renovation of your mind. Get all that trash and garbage out of your mind and get God in your mind. That's why the Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, honest, of good report, think on these things. You must act like Jesus. You've got to start thinking like God. Pray for revelation. Why do so many people confuse Brother Bram with Christ? Because he has so much of Christ in him. Amen? Why do we love Brother Bram so much? Because it was Christ that was in him. To act like Jesus in Laodicea, you said you can't do it. He did it. He was the first matured son of God, and he was the first sheaf wave this generation, signifying there's more to come just like him. So it can be done. It will be done. It is being done. Number three, you must separate from all hindrances and unbelief. You must separate from all hindrances and unbelief. Hebrews chapter 7, Brother Man said, and God called Abraham to separate himself from all of his kindreds to walk with him. Brother, sometimes it means leaving a church. It meant that to Paul. He had to leave his church. It meant that to many. Sometimes it means to leave home. Sometimes it means you have to leave father and mother and forsake all. I don't mean to say it does every time, but sometimes it does. It means you've got to take everything between you and God and walk with him alone. Oh, that blessed sweet communion, that fellowship that you have when you separate yourselves from the things of the world and the carnal believers who is making fun of you and walk alone with Christ. Listen, it is going to be a separation. It's got to be a separation. Total separation from unbelief, separation from the world, separation from all the ungodly activities. It's a separation. It's a separated walk with God. Listen, you either enjoy the world today and forsake eternity, or you forsake some of the joys of the world and enjoy eternity. Take your pick. Can't have both. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Amen. Oh, I believe that. Walk with God. Sometimes it means leaving your old church. I did it. But look what we got. Come up a little higher. You say, leave your church? Well, it don't really make any difference where you go to church. Oh, it don't? You might want to read this quote. Brother Bram says, in planting the vine, where to plant it. Paragraph 19. Then David goes to our text, Psalms 87, said, you plucked up the vine out of Egypt. You brought it out and planted it in a good place. That was Israel, God's people that was in Egypt. They were a good vine. They were God's chosen. But if a good vine isn't set in good ground, it will not bring forth good fruits. It depends on where the vine is planted. We'll determine the results of the crop. So God picked up Israel out of a barren ground. He also says in paragraph 20, that's the way many people are in churches today. Good people, just planted in the wrong place. Now, if a real believer is brought to Christ and he's planted in some great denomination that doesn't believe in miracles and signs and wonders of the Lord, that person may be a genuine Christian and a Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Jehovah Witness, something else in that church, a genuine vine of God. But the denominational creed cuts off the life of the vine. They can't bear fruit. So it does matter where you're planted. Bring it on up into the message and you can read between the lines. It matters where you're planted. If you want to be a fruit bearer, you've got to be in a good atmosphere. The right kind of teaching, the right kind of atmosphere, the right kind of place to be able to grow. Brother, sister, I'll tell you what. If you go back and, you both go back and read spoken words as original seed and some of the things, how, what Brother Bram talks about, the independence and denominational stuff, that stuff, he said it's dead! It's dead! I mean, the whole 6-hour sermon, spoken word is original seed. He's trying to say you cannot hybrid the word of God. It dies when you hybrid it. And ever been, since a full word's been born into manifestation, all that out there, that cannon fodder is dead! I say that respectfully, but that's the Word of God. That's what He told us. You think, listen, you know, it does matter what ministry you're under and what, who your pastor is. You think every pastor has a word birth? No, sir. Every preacher has a word birth? No, sir. We've had preachers right here in this pulpit that's left this message. We found out they didn't ever have a birth.
Amen.
Preach right here. Every man preaches this God. We used to think when we came to the message, well, if you understand the message, then you have a birth. That ain't true. That's just understanding. That's just intellectual conception. That's just knowledge. Has nothing to do with the soul. Okay, that's number four. You cannot just presume you're walking with God. We got to hurry because I know you want to get outside and see the sunshine. You cannot just presume you're walking with God. He says in presuming, now Israel made a fatal mistake when they did this. Not only Israel, but everybody else that does it. It will be a fatal mistake when you presume to walk with God, when God has not called you to walk with Him. Now brother, I don't know if I want to try to explain that. Or when you presume to venture out upon things that's not scriptural, or thinking it'll be alright. It's not alright! You can't just presume, you've got to know that you know that you know. You must be sure. You got to be certain of God.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Let me just remind you of something that's striking. If I ask you, are you bride or are you foolish virgin? If I ask 700 people, I'm going to get 700 answers. I'm bride. Ain't nobody going to say I'm foolish virgin. Right? But the prophet of God said, the foolish virgins, all of the foolish virgins, thought that they were under the blood. They thought that they were bride. They thought that they were under the blood. But they were just presuming. They never went all the way to that word birth. They thought that they were under the blood. They thought that they were in the message. It's checking out time, brother, sister. It ain't no time to be playing church. If you don't know that you've got that word birth, you don't know that you're sealed in, you don't know that your passion is Christ, your love is Christ, your whole desires is Christ, your life is Christ, everything you eat is Christ, everything you look at is Christ, everywhere you go is Christ. If Christ is not your passion, you better check up.
Amen.
I better check up.
Amen.
This thing's about finished.
Amen.
You can't just presume, brother. You must be born again. You must have a word birth. And a word birth will bring a passion for Christ. Number five. Listen, before we read this, and if you're pulled towards carnal things in your life, and you're just presuming to walk with God, you've got to choose either carnality or Christ. It's one or the other. You can't have both. Now number five. I'm just going to read what Brother Ben said. You cannot be greedy. You cannot be greedy and walk with God.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, paragraph 40. Well, Lot, being greedy, showed what he was. He looked down there and he saw the great things already built up. He didn't want to walk with God alone. He wanted to get mixed up with the world. That's just what the church did. Instead of walking on with God, it had to pull itself off and get mixed up in the world. See where we're at tonight? See where the church is? That's exactly right, friend. Lot was down there greedy and went down into Sodom and kept leaning his tent that way because perhaps Mrs. Lot wanted them kind of dresses that they were wearing down in Sodom. And she wanted to be like that. And Lot wanted to become great, some great businessman, be influenced in the city because he thought maybe I could make a few extra dollars or something. We find out he got a good position down there, but he was backslid. He was backslid. Now that's the church carnal. You can't walk with God and be greedy. I don't think we even got to preach on that. Donnie, Brother Donnie hits that all the time. You love the world or the things of the world, the love of God not even in you. Love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? That's all right? Let's go a little farther. Number six. You cannot have split devotions. You cannot have split devotions. Brother Brown says, you can't walk with Hollywood and with the church at the same time. You can't walk with God and the world at the same time. You can't love God and mammon at the same time. You cannot have split devotions. It's either going to be all God or none of God. We're talking about bride material now, friends. It's either all God or none of God. It ain't going to be 99.9. It's all God or nothing. Again, if your passion is not Christ and you love the things of the world, then you're not ready yet to walk with God. It's got to be all Christ. If you love the world or the things of the world, brother, I tell you, the love of God's not in you. You know, let's look at this Hebrews 11 right quick and we'll go to the next one. Hebrews 11, 24, talking about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he was 40 years old, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, he was taught to be a deliverer, but that was head knowledge, his first 40 years. 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God that he might enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the Lord. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king for which he endured. Listen, when he was come to years, then them second 40 years, but then when he met that pillar of fire, listen, he chose, and then he esteemed, and then he forsook. You have to choose. You have to make a choice. And then you have to esteem. You have to evaluate. And then you got to make a manifestation. You carry out your plans. Amen. So that's what happened in Moses in his time of training there. All right. Number seven. We must have faith like Enoch. We must have faith like Enoch. He says, and go wake Jesus. Now, I may not have faith enough to make all that act, but I certainly wouldn't want to stand in the way of somebody who did have faith enough. I might not have faith enough to be like Enoch, who took an afternoon walk with God and didn't have to die, just walked up on home. But I certainly would like to see someone do it, you know. I sure wouldn't want to stand in his way doing it. I pray for that kind of faith because that's the kind of faith we're going to have. That's the kind of faith we're going to have. It's just that plain and simple. That's the faith we're going to have. You see, Enoch pleased God because he had faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Number eight, you must meet God face to face. You must meet God face to face. Talk about Jacob. Oh, what a great thing it was and how that he had wrestled through. That he had seen signs of God. He had had dreams about God. But this one time that he was in the very face of God, in the presence of God. Think of it, friends. Now as we're hurry up. In the presence of God, a man's changed. Jacob was changed. Now he could walk with God. He was a different man than what he was when he went up there. The battle was over. Yes, sir. And he began to build an altar. He hadn't been used to building altars, you know, but I tell you, when you come into the presence of God, you want to build an altar somewhere. Amen. You want to find somewhere where you can pray. He built an altar. He was cleansed and God had won. I thought Jacob wrestled and won. No, God had won. He got his child. He changed from Jacob to Israel. God won. Amen. God come looking for his children. Number nine. You must love to go to church. You must love to go to church. I asked one of the deacons the other day, I was teasing with him, I said, did your wife make you go to church today? He said, no, I made her. No, you must love to go to church. Unveiling of God. Now we're going to open the word of the Lord, and what we are all here for is to enjoy ourselves and to take heed to what we are. We never come here, and we're no one that's present knows that any man would sit in this heat like this and just to the idea of being here. We are here for one purpose, and that's a closer walk with God. Amen. That's all we can do, is to believe the Lord Jesus is with us, and we're here to walk closer with Him. So why do you want to come to church? To have a closer walk with God. So that you can walk with God. Learn how to walk with God. Learn how we ought to walk with God. You know, judgment first begins at the house of God. This is a house of correction. Well, people don't want to be corrected. I'd rather take my correction here than the white throne. You're going to get it somewhere. You're either going to get it here or there. Why not take it here? It's a whole lot easier here. Because you got space to repent here. There ain't no space to repent there. Take your judgment here. I don't see why anybody wouldn't want to love to come to church. I mean, just love to come to church. I live to go to church. You know, I got three highlights in the week going to church. Everything else is just superfluous. You say, brother, you're a preacher. You're supposed to say, no, that's the real me. That's the real me. And by God's grace, my life manifests it because I love Him. You must love to go to church. Remember, you're not feeding on a man. You're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Just think about that word feeding. Feeding, feeding, feeding. When you feed, you eat. He never said you're listening on unfailing or you're attending on the unfailing. He said you're not eavesdropping on. He said you are feeding. I looked up the word feed. It means to provide something necessary for growth, development, and existence. To provide something necessary for growth, development, and existence. Well, you wouldn't just feed your body three meals a week. Well, why would you think you can get by with just, you know, just one meal a week? Two meals a week? Well, if I feel like it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even so much the more as you see that day approach. Have I got my point across? Amen. Do we need to come to church? Thank you. But when I think about old David Siler, bless his heart. I thought about him when I thought about feeding. When I preached at Brother David Morris's, were about 20, 25 years ago, and David Siler was sitting on the front bench. I think he was sitting about right here in David Morris's church when I was preaching there. And Brother David, just like he is today, said, come on, brother, preach it. Amen. Preach it. Amen. Preach. He was a little teenager, about 14, 15, 16 years old. Right. Come on, brother, preach it. Amen. He ain't changed a bit. Oh, brother, he loves the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir, he loves the Lord. Amen. Where's Brother Pinkston at? Where's Brother Pinkston? Is he here today? Anyway, I remember talking about feeding. I was up at Brother Earl Heist one time, and Jimmy Pinkston, that's Brother Mike Pinkston's brother, Michael Pinkston's brother. Jimmy Pinkston was there, and we had a picnic on Sunday afternoon. And Brother Jimmy Pinkston, bless his heart, he loves corn, corn on the cob. We had a picnic. He was eating corn on the cob. And you talk about feeding. I mean, he had corn on his ears. He had it in his eyebrows, in his mouth. I mean, he had corn all over. He was feeding. My brother, that's feeding. I mean, you know, you just slobber all over everything. You know, you're feeding on the Word of God. I mean, he was enjoying his corn on the cob. Brother, you come to church, you enjoy coming to church. All right, last but not least, number 10. You must be anchored, steadfast, and unmovable. In the adoption, Brother Ben says, God by His elected grace has called you out. God by His election grace sanctified you. God by His election grace and His power baptized you and put you in the land of rest. They which have entered to His rest have ceased from their going astray. They ceased from their works like God did from His. They have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen now. The tree of life is blooming in them. They have long suffering, gentle, goodness, patience, faith, meekness, gentleness, and so forth. The tree of life is blooming in them because their hope is anchored in Christ Jesus.
The witness of the Holy Ghost bearing record in signs and wonders and following the believers, these signs shall follow them that believe as they go along. They heal the sick. They cast out devils. They speak with tongues. They see visions. They walk with God. They walk with God. They walk with God. They talk with God. No devil can move them. They're steadfast, looking for eternal life. Forgetting those things that are in the past, they press towards the mark of the high calling, Christ Jesus. There they are. There they are. That's the church. You must be anchored, steadfast, and unmovable.
Amen.
Ten commandments of living right, walking with God. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Now, right before we close, I got a little treat for you. You've heard it a couple of times, but Brother Michael is going to play it for you. To me, when you talk about passion, your love for God, what it really means to be a Christian, this that you're going to hear again is the best evaluation of Christianity. If we can take these 10 things that we talked about this morning, then in our life is what you're going to hear in just a minute. I believe you've got a good chance of making that rapture. Play, brothers. It's outstanding.
Your salvation, of course, derives from the fact that as a redeemed sinner, no longer on the way to hell, but already on the way to heaven, Jesus Christ, as God, Creator, has come to invade your humanity to play that role in you for which you were created. To give Him the right 24 hours a day in your business, in your home, in your school, on your college campus, whether you're on recreation, in vacation, in business, no matter at any time, under any circumstance, 24 hours in every day, 7 days in every week, you give Jesus Christ, as God, the right to be God in you without reserve. That's what it means to become a Christian. We've conveniently reduced salvation to a moment in time when we raise a hand, walk down the front, or get baptized, or have our name put upon a church roll, and we call that salvation. Nothing, of course, is farther from the truth. That's totally divorced from the revelation given to us in the Word of God, which is our sole guide in every matter of faith. Salvation involves the reoccupation by God of a guilty sinner in such a way that Jesus Christ has the unchallenged, absolute, perpetual right to dictate the terms whereby that individual henceforth will run his life. For instance, where he's going to buy his new home, what vocation he's going to study for as a student, where he's going to go next year on vacation, how he's actually going to spend his money, who's really going to run the church that he goes to. All this is embraced in his salvation. And nothing less than that, of course, will do. Anything less than that shortchanges Jesus Christ and cheats Him of that for which His blood will shed. And of course, if I'm to discover what the Christian life is all about, there's really only one person to whom I can turn. There's only one person that's ever been capable of living the Christian life since Adam fell, Jesus Christ. So that now He, risen from the dead, might come and perpetuate the life that He lived then in us now. So the Christian life, of course, is the life that Jesus Christ lived then, lived now by Him in us. There is no other. In other words, God to a man is as imperative as oil is to a lamp. If you have an oil lamp and it's got no oil, you've got an oil lamp, but it won't behave like one. You might as well put it in the trash can. And of course, if you detach man from God, which is exactly what happened when Adam fell into sin, you've still got a man in your hands, but he won't behave like one. The only thing that you can do for an oil lamp that hasn't got oil is put oil in it. And the only thing you can do for a car that hasn't got gas is to put gas in it. And the only thing you can do for a man that hasn't got God is to put God in it. And when you put the oil in the lamp, it isn't so the lamp can try harder. And when through spiritual new birth God gets back into the man, it isn't that the man might try harder. You put oil in a lamp so the oil can be oil functionally. You put gas in a car so that the gas can be gas functionally. And you put God in the man so that God can be God functionally. In other words, spiritual new birth is designed to let God be God in a man's human experience. So that everybody in that man's presence recognizes that God is in residence and God is in business. But it takes God, actually God himself, not what God has to say, not God's example, not God's precepts, not God as a faraway object of our emulation or worship. It takes God himself in a man to be a man. And that's why, if we shall discover, it will take Jesus Christ, not his teachings, not his preaching, not his sublime example, not the beautiful life that he lived, not the doctrines that he promulgated. It will take Jesus Christ himself, a person, to be a Christian. The Lord Jesus died upon the cross, not just to get you out of hell and into heaven. He died upon the cross to get God out of heaven into you. Actually calling the shots. Actually controlling what you do with your hands. Actually controlling where you go with your feet. Actually controlling what you say with your lips. Actually controlling what you think with your mind. Actually controlling the decisions that you make. That is the measure in which you're saved. So that if any man be in Christ, he's actually, literally, a new creation. He's been made over. He's a new creature. All things that were characteristic of the old Adamic character have passed away. And all things, the all things which the next verse tells us there in that passage, come from God. The all things have replaced the old things. All things have passed away and all things have become new.
Stand. All things have passed away. Musicians, wish you could get musicians come. All things have become new. Brother, that's, to me, that explains it. That's the summary. As the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and 13th verse, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why are we put on this earth? Why are we here? Keep his commandments. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is what we're put here for. This is what our purpose is for. This is what our life is for.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Brother, everything he said is so good, but one thing he said, the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, not just to get you out of hell and into heaven. He died upon the cross to get God of heaven into you.
Amen.
Glory! To get God of heaven into you. God wants to reside in human beings. He wants to come down and dwell in man. He wants to be in us. He's not just trying to keep us out of hell. He's trying to get heaven inside of us. And he can only do it through one thing. That's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being born again, birthed from above. Taking on the nature of God, being born from above. Having the love of God, the life of God, the desires of God, the faith of God, the passions of God, everything about Christ. That's how we walk with God. I thought about the demoniac of the Gadarenes, the people that is devil-possessed. Can you imagine a person that's just full of the devil, just completely devil-possessed? You've seen a few of them in your lifetime. Actually, demonic, devil-possessed. I mean, sometimes they don't even have control of their faculties. Because the devil is residence in that person and actually controlling that individual. They can't even control their own faculties. Well, if a person can be devil-possessed, what about a person that's God-possessed? If that's what it'll make a devil-possessed person where they can't even control their faculty, so to speak, what about if you have the token, you have the literal life of Jesus Christ? God is the controller. He controls your life, your walk, your desires, everything you do, everything you say. He's on the control tower. You're possessed with Almighty God.
Amen.
Oh, glory. Let's sing a song, Brother Harry. Sing one real pretty. Amen. Let's worship before we dismiss. You love the Lord? Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Glory.
My way gets brighter. My Lord gets lighter. Walking up the King's highway.
Walking up.
There's joy. Walking up the King's highway, oh, it's a highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there but the pure and holy. It's a highway to heaven.
Verses there, Christ walks beside me. I remember when I was a little kid, was raised on a farm. We had our house was down here on the farm, a little house down here, and then my grandmother and grandfather's house was up here, and there was a big barn between us. So we'd go out in my front yard, and it was about maybe 100 yards between our house and Mima's house. So of course, everybody always loves Grandma. You know, she cooks well and stuff, little kids. So at nighttime, being raised in Florida, you know, we got snakes and, you know, and they say there are panthers down there. There's a few of them. So being a kid, you know, you're scared at nighttime. So I'd call up Meemaw on the phone and say, Meemaw, turn on the porch light so I can see the light. And I'd go outside, be a little kid, you know, being scared. And I'd look at that light and say, now, there's about 100 yards between me and Meemaw's house. There may be a snake or a bear or a cat or a raccoon or skunk or, you know, whatever, you know. You got all kinds of stuff in your mind. So I get up and I'm getting pumped up. I get ready now. I mean, I'm going to run 450 miles an hour because I'm scared, you know, but I'm going to Meemaw's house, you know. So I get ready and I just get, you know, psyched up like that. And then I say, boom, and I take off just as fast as I can go. I mean, it mesmerized anything that got my way because I'm, you know, running that fast. Whew, I make it to Meemaw's house. I made it. But you know what? I was scared. But sometimes I say, Daddy, let's go out to Meemaw's house. He come out and said, all right. I didn't call Meemaw to turn on the light. I get Daddy's hand. Where is that panther? Where is that raccoon? Where is he? I didn't care what come. I had Daddy's hand. You don't have to worry about it, brother, sister. You got Christ's hand. It don't matter what comes in your way. You can go to Meemaw's house. You don't have to worry about a thing. Glory.
You don't have to worry.
Don't have to worry.
You don't have to hurry when you're walking up the King Highway. When Christ walks beside me, His angels will guide me. Walking up the King's Highway. You're not walking, oh, start while I'm talking, walking up the King's highway. There'll be a blessing that you'll be possessing when you're walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure and holy. It's a highway to heaven. Walking up the my journey. I live my lifetime for this day alone. I just saw the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious. I started out walking but I'm running my last mile home. Yes, I started out walking but I'm running my last mile home. So ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah, don't roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne. Little David, play the prettiest music. I'm a weary pilgrim running my last mile. With many crossroads on my journey, but never once has my God led me wrong. The deserts and the valleys lie behind me. The road ahead's straight and I'm running my last mile home. Yes, I started out walking but I'm running my last mile home. So ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah, don't you roll on back, let me through. Take me to the throne. Little David, play the prettiest music.
you enjoy church this morning? Let's just run on anyhow. You're dismissed. Heaven's claimed so many smiling faces, till I don't feel at home down here anymore. I just heard the sound of old familiar voices. They're singing a new song I never heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before. So ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne. Little David, play the prettiest music. I'm a weary pilgrim running my last mile.